Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The running backs from top to bottom. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pisapia. That, of course, is Mike Tagliere and Kyle Yates, and it's you. And today's show, it's all about the running backs. That's right. We're the committee that's going to tell you which running backs you want. We're going to go tier by tier, spot by spot, talk about the targets, the avoids, the sleepers, the busts, everything in between. I don't know if there's any booms in there. That's for Tags to decide. But look, like I said, we're going to break it all down for you. And make sure you stick around to the end of the show, too, for a little What's Trending, America's favorite rising game show. And before we kick things off here, Tags, I know you were out on the bike yesterday on the open road. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling there? You enjoy that little time to yourself?
I enjoyed the hell out of it when I was doing it. Unfortunately, today, I don't know what happened. I woke up and, you know, my chest is all whatever. And I feel like I should be like laying down right now. Instead, I'm talking to you two clowns.
Well, like, are you okay chest wise? I mean, now I'm worried about when you say chest now. I don't know if you're like sore from holding the handlebars or if we got to like call in an ambulance.
Well, no, I can give an update on that. Actually, I got results back from all my heart stuff and the cardiologist. Everything is good. So thank you guys for asking about it on Twitter and wherever. But yeah, everything's good.
That's good. That is very good news. And just so you know, Yates, now that you're 27, as you get older, things are just going to hurt for no reason. So are you prepared for this? That's going to start happening.
So funny that you mentioned this because I was out on my birthday. I was out with a bunch of guys and we were talking and we got my son a trampoline for his birthday, which was just before. And the past few days afterwards, I had been like waking up and been like, I'm sore. Like my lower back is killing me. Why am I sore? And then it clicked. I was like, is it because of the freaking trampoline that I am, like, I've been jumping with him and I am so sore. It's like, really? This is because of a trampoline that I'm my lower back's killing me.
Yep. Welcome to old age.
Yeah, it's great. It's great fun, let me tell you. Also, you know what else is great fun? Before we even get into the running backs of the tiers, the Draft Wizard. Super fun. We did a great mock yesterday. We had a great time there with Jeff Ratcliffe. If you missed that, make sure you go back over and watch it over on our YouTube channel on Fantasy Pros. And don't forget to click that little button to subscribe and the notifications bell. Ding that bell, baby. And also, I want to tell you about our cheat sheet creator at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. So, what is the cheat sheet creator, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. It's a great tool that allows you to combine all your favorite experts into one consensus sheet. With those experts, whenever they update their rankings, your cheat sheets will automatically update with them. You can even create customized rankings for your league using projections, or you can even import your own rankings to further customize your cheat sheet with tiers and player notes. You can do all of that. Plus, you can use your cheat sheet in both the Draft Simulator and the Draft Assistant tools on both our website and in our Draft Wizard app. So make sure you check out the Cheat Sheet Creator only at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. You can have all of us in the room with you, your three best friends, the three amigos, Yates, Joey P, and Tags, all in there with the Cheat Sheet Creator. And guess what? On top of that, you know this is only for MVP and Hall of Fame subscribers over there, and you're saying, well, I don't know if I want to do that. Okay, here you go. I'm going to sell you on it. You can create and use these custom sheets if you are a Hall of Fame subscriber or an MVP subscriber of Fantasy Pros. And if you go to fantasypros.com/offers and make a deposit on one of our partner sites, okay, any of the partner sites that are on there on fantasypros.com/offers, you can get 6 months free. That'll take you all the way through football season with us, and a Hall of Fame package, $65 value for free. So go to fantasypros.com/offers, play some more fantasy somewhere else because you love to do that, and you get the Hall of Fame package anyway for $65 value for 6 months for free. What more can you possibly ask for? Again, fantasypros.com/offers. We're just giving away free stuff because we're the best. We're just the best. We're so much fun. And you know what else is fun? Breaking down the tiers, breaking down the running backs and going through stuff. So forget the first tier because we know the elite is the elite. We don't have to talk about them. Christian McCaffrey's good at football. Dalvin Cook's good at football. Derrick Henry's good at football. Let's go to that next grouping after Kamara and those guys. Let's get to tier two because this is where the rubber meets the road, boys and girls. This is where we're in a point where there are guys that have questions in this tier, guys that could absolutely be first round return values, and guys that might not. This tier on our half PPR consensus rankings, at number 5 is Ezekiel Elliott, at number 6 Saquon Barkley, 7 Aaron Jones, then you go to Jonathan Taylor at 8, and my boy Nick Chubb, hashtag the Chubb Club, is at number 9. So Tags, when you see this group, all these guys basically are going somewhere in that 5 to 10 range in first rounds. So when you see this group, where does your eye go to automatically saying, I like this guy, this value. In fact, I might even like one of these players more and rank them higher than where they are in this current tier and ranking.
I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's the one that stands out to me. You know, we could talk about his disappointing season last year, but he still finishes a top 12 running back. Once Dak Prescott went down, the entire offense kind of planted their faces in the sand. CeeDee Lamb, nobody wants to take that into consideration. It's like CeeDee Lamb struggled because Dak Prescott was hurt. You can't, a running back can have that too. The offensive line was down to one healthy lineman at the end of the year. There were a lot of factors that went into it, but ultimately 2020 was the first season that Ezekiel Elliott did not produce RB2 or better numbers in at least 90% of his games. There is nobody over the course of their career who's posted 90% of RB2 games over their career. Ezekiel Elliott is the best running back I've charted from that aspect. You know, the RB1, is he going to start sharing a little bit of work with Tony Pollard? Maybe a little bit, but he's one of the safest first round picks you could make. So I would argue that Zeke probably fits in with that top tier of four running backs more than he fits in with this tier. He's definitely the one for me.
All right, Yates, are you in that same mind? Are you in the camp of Ezekiel Elliott still safe? Take last year, throw it out the window, and just go back and say, hey, in the fifth spot, if I can get Ezekiel Elliott, whether it's half point or even full PPR, you feel like I at least locked down that RB1 position.
Yeah, with Zeke, I think the perception, and again, this is going back to what we've talked about previously with some of the towards the end of last year and how that plays a perception in what we think of moving into next year. With Zeke, from weeks 1 through 5, when Dak was healthy, I forget the split. I was trying to look it up while Tags was talking. I couldn't find it. He was insane. He was performing at a ridiculous rate. And then once we saw Dak leave the lineup, he fell off a cliff and yet still finished, as Tags mentioned, as a top 12 running back. So with Zeke, we have that sample size from the beginning of the year. And that's a long time ago. We have to talk about that. That's a long time ago. And we have this larger sample size of Zeke being a disappointment for fantasy football. But when you sit down and you look at the numbers, you break it down and you say, man, this offense is still going to be cooking with Dak Prescott. And, you know, the shoulder injury right now with Dak, I'm not worried about that. He's going to be healthy for week one. He's going to be out there ready to roll. So with Zeke, I do think that he is an extremely safe option. And he does come with ridiculous upside where I wouldn't be shocked if he finishes as a top 3 running back this year. You know, I think that he's got that upside. Yeah, Tony Pollard could factor in a little bit, but I don't think that it's going to take away the workload from Zeke and the scoring opportunities. That's the big thing. This offense is going to be in the red zone a ton. I love Zeke this year.
Okay, so everybody likes Zeke, which means that if you've got the sixth pick, now you've really got a decision to make. You got Barkley, Jones, Taylor, and Chubb. Now, if everybody looks at my rankings, you know Chubb is that guy for me, and I'm perfectly at peace with that. I don't care if he doesn't catch all the balls, just like I didn't care if Derrick Henry caught all the balls last year or the year before that. I'm cool with it. It's okay. Yates, when you look at the rest of this bunch, let's say you are six on the board right now. Are you somebody that would take the upside of Barkley because you know what the talent is? Do you want the safety of Nick Chubb or maybe Aaron Jones, the perennial guy who every single season seems to get undervalued and every year returns RB1 value?
Oh, this is all dependent upon each fantasy manager and how much risk they're willing to take in their first round. You know, with Saquon Barkley, the payoff could be huge because we all know the talent, but we've got the injury concerns. With Nick Chubb, we don't have any of the injury concerns. We know what he's going to be, but I don't think that he has RB1 overall upside because of just that limit with the receiving workload. So I think if you want to play it safe in your first round, Nick Chubb's the answer. If you want to take a little bit more risk at that sixth pick, then it's Saquon Barkley. Aaron Jones is definitely in that conversation for me. I've got him at RB7 on the year, and I think that he's going to be, you know, have massive scoring opportunities again with Aaron Rodgers now back in Green Bay. But, you know, I think I've got him in that territory, but it all just depends on how you want to play it.
All right, Tags, how do you want to play it? Because I think Yates makes a good point. You know, if you're playing for maybe a big money league, let's say you're in an NFFC satellite or something like that, you're playing, maybe Chubb is the right way to go, or maybe you want to go the other direction if you're trying to win an overall kind of contest with a Saquon Barkley, or if you're in a league for fun and you're just looking for upside and you got a really good plan in a 10-team league, I can understand going with Barkley because there's more replacement value if things start off slow. But how do you see the rest of this tier after Elliott? If he's the safe guy, who is the next guy up at six for you that you would actually push up to that level?
The correct answer is Aaron Jones. I'm saying that because Aaron Jones, so the situation with Jamal Williams the last couple of years, Jamal Williams was eating into his workload a little bit. Aaron Jones still finishes a top five running back in each of the last 2 years. He's essentially Alvin Kamara, but nobody wants to acknowledge it. If Aaron Rodgers wasn't coming back, that was definitely going to lower him down my board because the overall potency of the offense was going to come down. Rodgers' touchdown rate is going to come down. It was 9.1% last year. It's not going to remain there. His career rate is 6.3. A.J. Dillon is a thumper, sure. Jamal Williams, he got carries too. So we should expect A.J. Dillon to get some carries, yes. But at the same time, moving from Jamal Williams to A.J. Dillon is actually going to upgrade Aaron Jones in terms of what he gets in the passing game. He has developed that chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. This team obviously invested a lot of money into him. There is zero concern I have about Aaron Jones. And I honestly don't understand why more people aren't saying it's possible that he should be drafted over Alvin Kamara, because Kamara has more questions about the offense in general right now, because it's just so centralized on that run game. And it's like, can teams say, hey, we're just going to leave the wide receivers in man coverage on the outside and force you guys to beat us that way? There's a lot of concerns, but Aaron Jones, I have zero concerns about. He's just a superstar in every way. He outperforms expectations. Barkley, the reason I'm saying that Barkley's not in that conversation, Barkley would be the guy if he were 100% healthy, but he's obviously being eased back in by the Giants. They said they're taking a long-term approach, and this all comes back to the risk. You don't take risk in the first round. I think this is something that we've learned. It's a valuable lesson to say, hey, you're not going to win your fantasy league in the first round, but you can help yourself lose it. And if Saquon Barkley, you know, tries to come back and for whatever reason he takes a hit on that knee and it's like, all right, now we're going to really limit his touches, then you're screwing yourself. Aaron Jones is going to play. He's going to be great. Nick Chubb, limited. As Yates said, Nick Chubb is a safe first round pick. I'm not going to fault anybody for taking him, but so is Aaron Jones. And Aaron Jones has the upside to finish as the RB1, whereas Chubb doesn't have that unless there's an injury to Kareem Hunt.
Now, look, and I understand that concept too. And I just love the safety of Nick Chubb. I also think the identity of the Browns offense is Nick Chubb. And that's something that I love, where the identity of the Packers offense is Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, still for me. Aaron Jones, very important. But this is kind of the same thing when you go back and you look at the Derrick Henry trajectory. And let's not forget, it's only a couple years ago, Nick Chubb was right there neck and neck with Derrick Henry for that rushing title. I think he could be right there again with him this year.
Well, here's the question I have, though, Joe. Imagine for a second that Kareem Hunt is not on the Browns roster. Sure. Where would you draft him? And a lot of people would say they draft him as RB3 or RB4.
Yeah, so, I would say
so,
four.
So by saying you're going to take him RB5, you're saying that Kareem Hunt essentially doesn't matter. And he doesn't.
I'm not saying he doesn't matter. I'm saying he doesn't necessarily matter more to me than, say, Like, it's also a team that doesn't use a tight end, right? Let's say this was a team that liked to use a tight end a little bit, throw some short passes and things like that. That's not really in the bag of the Cleveland Browns offense. It's not something they do.
They did make Austin Hooper the highest paid tight end at one point.
Yeah, but they didn't make him the highest used tight end last time I checked. That's all I care about. I don't care what your dollar signs say. I care what your volume says. And look, he's not thrilling.
He had an appendectomy, damn it.
I don't care what he had. He wasn't there.
I'm just
sorry. Like, you know, you get extra
Poke at you, man. I got to poke. Chubb is a safe first round pick.
I think that it comes down to the difference there as far as rankings and rankings philosophy of projections. If you look at it from just a pure projection standpoint, there's not a path for Nick Chubb to be a top five fantasy football running back. But if you want to build in your rankings, the safety versus risk argument and stuff like that, that's where Nick Chubb can move up into that territory.
Yeah, like I said, something you would lock in and depend on every single week that has a floor and a ceiling attached to it and is the identity of the offense. Yates, with the Carson Wentz injury, with the Nelson injury going on with the Colts, does this knock Taylor for you out of this tier?
It does. And Jonathan Taylor was towards the end of this tier anyway to begin with. So I just finished my rankings. I made an update earlier today. He's at RB 11 on the year now. So the thing with the Colts offense is, yes, they're going to rely on Jonathan Taylor if Jacob Eason is indeed the starter for however many games. And that's part of this too, is that we do not know how long Carson Wentz is going to be out of the lineup. So when you have a inexperienced quarterback like Jacob Eason stepping in, yes, they're going to lean on Jonathan Taylor, but the overall plays ran for this offense is probably going to come down quite a little bit here because Jacob Eason might not be able to convert those third down throws, those throws to keep the offense moving. So, you know, you can lean on Jonathan Taylor, but if the offense isn't as potent or running as many plays, then it limits the overall upside for a running back like JT. So I've got him a little bit further down just because, and that's projecting Wentz to miss three games. If he misses 5, 6, then, man, we could be talking about Jonathan Taylor out as a RB15 in my rankings.
I wonder if Philip Rivers is sick of being at home and all of his kids and thinking about coming back. Who knows? Keep an eye on that one. They were asking him. He's like, no, I'm happy coaching high school football. We'll see. We'll see if the NFL comes calling again for him. All right, this next tier, tier 3 and 4, probably the most important in terms of making or breaking possibly your fantasy season. But before we get to that, I want to know if you've been looking for a new challenge this year in your fantasy season, because there's a new platform called Dynasty Owner that unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and the strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with the real NFL salary cap. Adding in the strategies of running an NFL franchise, Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics that want the real GM experience. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues are forming right now. That's DynastyOwner.com. We've all been in a league where the winner got lucky, and if you're like me and you think you're better than most, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their rosters using real NFL salaries within the salary cap, and it adds an entirely new level of strategy to the game you love. Go to DynastyOwner.com and validate your fantasy football skills today. And let's validate some of these running backs in the next tier, because they've got some questions here. You got tier 3. Again, this is on half PPR over on Fantasy Pros. Austin Eckler at 10, Antonio Gibson at 11, Joe Mixon at 12, Najee Harris at 13, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 14. I'm going to start with you on this one, Yates. I know for me, I don't want to speak for tabs, but I'm just going to guess for tags. Harris and Clyde Edwards-Helaire probably higher up on this tier probably than where the consensus has him right now. You're a Mixon guy. Is Mixon your target in this group, or is there somebody else that you like better out of these five guys?
Mixon is the target for me. I've got him at RB9 on the year. And Najee Harris, though, breathing right down his neck at RB10. So I think you can't go wrong with this tier, really. Austin Eckler, safe option. You know what you're going to get week in and week out. Najee Harris, you know that he's heading for a massive workload. Antonio Gibson, man, that's an upside swing. That's a swing for the fences that could absolutely pay off. I'm really, really excited about Gibson this year. CEH is the one that gives me a little bit of pause here, just at this price point. I have him just a couple of spots lower, so I'm not, you know, it's nitpicking here. But Joe Mixon is the target for me because there are few running backs in the NFL that are heading for his type of workload, both on the ground and through the air. So Joe Mixon for me is the target there because we know the talent, we know the offense is going to be good, relatively speaking. And so I think that Mixon is going to be the safest option if you're not baking into the injury concerns there, just because, and again, I've talked about that at length, so I don't want to go into that a ton here, but I do think that Mixon is the target for me in this range.
Now, it's funny. All of these guys I feel more comfortable with as my second running back, to be honest with you. Like, I love Mixon as my two. I love Gibson as my two because you talk about the upside these guys potentially bring. I'm just worried about them being the guy on my fantasy rotation, right? The RB1. I have a hard time getting there with all of them except for one, and it's Najee Harris, and I'm already willing to go there. I've put myself on a limb there in the Black Book on it. Tags has put himself on the limb many times here. Tags, you're still on this horse, right? You are going along with Najee Harris in this group. So let's take him out of the equation. Let's say Najee Harris is off the board. Of this tier, who do you think can be that workhorse running back one that you feel good about as your RB1 in this group of five, or should I say four remaining guys?
If I'm taking Mixon as my RB1, I'm not mad about it. Not mad about it at all. Austin Eckler has, so I like Eckler. When I did projections, he came up higher than I thought he would. But to be fair, there's still question marks about the offense changing. You know, Anthony Lynn is gone. You know, they drafted Larry Roundtree, and it seems like they want to use the bigger running backs on the goal line. It seems like it's going to be a multiple back situation. Now, does Justin Herbert get more confident, stop dumping down to someone like Eckler? You know, Jared Cook coming over from the Saints offense, Joe Lombardi coming over, he knows the offense. Does that play into anything? Do him and Herbert have chemistry together? Does Mike Williams take a step forward? We know Keenan Allen's not going anywhere. So there are question marks with Eckler, but again, getting him as a low-end RB1, especially in any sort of PPR format, I'm okay with it. Mixon has the guaranteed workload. As long as he's healthy, he is getting 18 plus touches per game. And if you were to go through the boom bust and everything in between reports, you'd see running backs that have 18 plus touches per game are RB1s. They just are. They finish there because touches are what matter most to running backs. I'm not going to fault Yates for saying this. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is someone that I absolutely love to get as my RB2 because it's just, it's stealing, and he does have top five upside. Now, would I take him over Mixon? I have him one spot below Mixon in my rankings, so I'm not there yet. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has come up to where he probably should be going. To be fair, earlier in the offseason, we had talked about it. Edwards-Helaire was going as RB18, RB19, and I said, this is the biggest steal. We need to raise this. And obviously, it's happened, and it's unfortunate because now I'm not getting him in the third round as consistently as I used to.
It's the same thing with Mixon. Mixon was so low, and now he's risen. I'm like, dang it, now I can't get him at an extreme value.
Damn us. Why do we ruin nice things for ourselves? Why do we do this? Oh, it's our job. That's why we're trying to help everybody. But, you know, going back to this point, too, I mean, considering even the value of Helaire where he is, Tags, you think he does have upside of top five because of the offense he's in and because we saw Kareem Hunt do it a few years ago, if he gets that kind of a workload. Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire become the league winner type guy then in that instance?
He was. Third round was like, that was league winner territory because, again, you don't really, you don't have to worry so much about risk at that point because there's, you know, the proven players are starting to come off the board and there's not locks, you know, at wide receiver one or wide or RB1 production. That's the idea, right? Is your RB2 gives you RB1 upside. Seeing guys like Antonio Gibson go over Edwards-Helaire doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. And you could like Antonio Gibson and expect him to take a step forward and all these things, but you're building that into his cost. Like, understand, it's the same thing with Kyle Pitts, where it's like, if you think that can happen, cool. Like, I'm okay with that because they're good football players. However, you're taking a massive leap by saying this is going to happen, and you're paying for that breakout before it even happens. So that's a little frustrating because that's the thing. Guys, we could do this every year. If we were to go back through last year and say, all right, which players being drafted in the first two or three rounds were busts, and say, could we have identified them and said, did we pay? We paid too much for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, before he proved anything on the NFL field and stuff like that, which is true. And again, that's the idea, is to identify potential roadblocks for them to not reach where you're drafting them. In drafting Antonio Gibson as an RB1, you're paying for a breakout. You need that breakout to happen. You need for him to get more touches in this offense. And they've added players in that offense. So it's really difficult for me to say it's a lock for Antonio Gibson. He's the one that doesn't belong in this tier. Antonio Gibson belongs in the tier with J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, guys like that.
All right. Well, let's talk about that.
Disagree.
Go ahead, Yates. Why do you disagree?
All right. So the different, you know, Tags is saying like Antonio Gibson, you're waiting for the breakout. I'm going to disagree because Antonio Gibson broke out last year to the tune of 11 rushing touchdowns on 170 rush attempts. Now, that's a ridiculous rate.
Screams regression. Like,
it does. But at the same time, if we're projecting regression, but we're also projecting that he's going to get more work on the ground, because he had 170 rush attempts last year. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 181. And Edwards-Helaire only finished with 4 rushing touchdowns. So I get the upside argument with CEH. I really do. If he gets the workload, absolutely. And you and I were both in on CEH last year saying, like, this is because of the offense, because of the talent, totally get why he's being drafted as highly as he was last year, especially after Le'Veon Bell. And so I think, or I'm sorry, Damian Williams. So I think with Antonio Gibson, like that's the argument, is that he's already done it. Like he has upside to where the point where 12 rushing touchdowns this year, 14 rushing touchdowns, like he can do it because he's getting the work in the red zone. Where CEH, I don't know if we have that guarantee.
He was essentially, so Antonio Gibson was essentially a Tyler Lockett type receiver, running back last year. He had 29% of his fantasy points came against the Cowboys. Like,
yeah, he had some big games.
He really did play
the Cowboys twice this year.
And that's the thing is, if you were to go look in the report on the boom bust and everything in between, you'd see that Antonio Gibson, he wasn't even close to an RB2. He was more like an RB3, and then you got some big performances out of him. And again, expecting him to take a step forward, I do. I have him ranked as my 15th running back. That's a step forward in terms of projections over an entire season. Now, last year, people are going to say, he finishes RB12 last year, Tags. He had all those touchdowns. There were a lot of injuries to the top players in the board. Obviously, that's going to slide him up a bit. But really, it's just breaking down his games and saying there was just he rushed for more than 94 yards twice the entire season. They added Curtis Samuel, a guy who's going to steal some targets over the intermediate area of the field. He's going to steal some carries. JD McKissick's still on this football team. Do they like automatically say, oh, he's not involved at all anymore? And it's like, I can see this happening. I can see them saying, we're going to fade McKissick and he's going to get 20 targets all season. I could see them doing that, I guess. But again, I don't want to pay for that to happen. Because if you pay for Antonio Gibson in front of someone like Joe Mixon, in front of someone like Najee Harris, who are guaranteed 18 plus touches per game,
right.
I think it's a mistake. I mean, I can make the case to put Gibson at RB13. Okay, I could see that. But as an RB1, you're taking too many chances there.
Let me ask you guys a question about this. Do you prefer a start to a team that is Stephon Diggs and Antonio Gibson, or Nick Chubb and Antonio Gibson?
I would love the running back stack there. I mean, I would obviously love to have Stephon Diggs on my roster, right. But to have Nick Chubb safety.
Right, ADP, this is basically a very doable thing. So that's why I'm putting it out there, because this is how you want to talk about roster construction building teams. So go ahead.
Yeah, if you've got Nick Chubb where you know the safety, you know the workload, you know the guarantee that there's very little risk with him in the first round, then you come back and you get Antonio Gibson. Because here's the thing, too. He had 33 career rush attempts in college. Like, this was a guy who was still learning the running back position last year, and he came out with 4.7 yards per carry and 11 freaking rushing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Like, so he is still, I think he's going to take a massive leap. I get the argument, though, of purchasing him over Joe Mixon, over Najee Harris. I can't get on board with that, but I'm saying that this guy has ridiculous, ridiculous upside, top five upside if he does get that workload. So yes, I love pairing him, that argument there, Joe, and that example of pairing him with Nick Chubb, because you have the safety,
right,
and then you have the upside.
How about I'll rather take Davante Adams and Najee Harris?
All right. I understand you'd rather do that, but that's not, let's say they're not available. Let's say that's not what you're allowed to do.
I would rather take Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, well, say, no, I'd if you know, if you're, no,
I'd
realistically,
rather grow hair back on my head. That's not happening anytime soon.
Listen,
either, Tags.
If you were drafting realistically in a 7 or 8 spot, you could get Davante Adams and Najee Harris or Joe Mixon.
Yeah, but okay. Yes, but you know what? If you're in a draft with me, you're not going to get Najee Harris back to you. So do you want Davante Adams and Antonio Gibson?
No, I want Davante Adams and Joe Mixon then.
Okay. All right. God. Way to avoid the question. All right. Let's go to the next thing.
I don't want Antonio Gibson in the second round. If I get him in third round, I'm stoked. I'm happy about it.
Yeah,
if I get
him the second. Also living in fantasy land where I also have hair, like, you know, glorious flowing locks, you know, kind of thing here. Like Chris Hemsworth or something. All right. Let's go to the next one here. Tier 4. Now, this is a tier I like a lot. I see a lot of value here. We're going to do 15 through 20, 20 through 25. There's a lot of names that I've been targeting, and I love this group, especially because I play a lot of super flex, and this is the group that after I take that quarterback in the first round, I love to double up on some of these guys. Sometimes I get Clyde Edwards-Helaire with one of these guys. You got DeAndre Swift at 15, J.K. Dobbins at 16, then Chris Carson, David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs. For me, I love this cluster of Dobbins, Carson, Montgomery. I'd love to double up with two of these guys. If I went Davante Adams in the first round in a super flex, if I went with a big time quarterback in the first round, give me two of these running backs. I am happy. I feel good about those guys. I feel less good about Swift. Tags, how do you feel about this group here between Jacob, Sanders, Montgomery, Carson, Dobbins, and Swift in the reverse order there I just gave him?
I mean, Dobbins is the ideal RB2, yes. Where, you know, we understand that there's limitations. It's the whole Antonio Gibson idea, right? It's going back to the idea that you're able to get a running back that does have top five potential if he's utilized more in the passing game, if he scores double digit touchdowns. We understand all those things. And to be fair, like, even if we go back to we had a three-headed timeshare last year, you know, Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, and J.K. Dobbins. If we go back to 2019, it was just Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards. Mark Ingram wasn't heavily involved in the passing game, but he finished, I think, as the RB6 or RB7 that year. So there's definitely upside for them to finish in that territory, especially now that Ingram's out of the way, because Gus Edwards doesn't catch any passes. So unless you think that they're going to involve Justice Hill, we're going to see him utilize more in that passing game. But again, it comes back to the idea. You don't want to pay for those things that you're hoping happen. So Dobbins, as your RB2, as these, you know, 15th, 16th running back off the board, I am 100% down with getting him in the third round if you want to go that route. Chris Carson's one of the safer ones. He's had struggles staying healthy. Because if Chris Carson was someone that could remain on the field, I think we'd see him in tier three conversation. You know, up there with guys like Antonio Gibson.
So, well, that's why you got to take advantage of the guys in this tier that, like, you take advantage of Montgomery finishes an RB1, he's going in tier four. You just nailed it with Chris Carson, right? A guy that obviously, if he stayed healthy, he would be higher. Great. Yeah. Give him to me as the value in four. Dobbins, the same kind of thing. Yates, when you're looking at this group of five here, who do you want and who do you want to avoid? Maybe even more importantly.
Yeah, Chris Carson is going to be my main target in this territory just because of the offense that he's in. We know that they've made significant strides with bringing Shane Waldron in to fix the issues that were going on last year. So I think this offense is going to be rolling again this year, scoring opportunities. We know the workload that Chris Carson is going to get. So it does come down to the injury concerns. And, you know, it all depends on who you drafted as your RB1. If I drafted Joe Mixon to be my RB1, I might not want to stack him with Chris Carson just because we do have some of those injury concerns with both of those guys. So wanting to kind of, that's the roster construction argument and philosophy, just wanting to balance it out a little bit. But in a vacuum, Chris Carson is the guy that I want in this territory. Tags, you alluded to Mark Ingram in 2019, only 202 rush attempts, 5 yards per carry. So he finished with over 1,000 rushing yards, 10 rushing touchdowns, finishes the RB8 with only 29 targets on the season. So there is an opportunity for J.K. Dobbins to, I mean, and Dobbins is a better running back than Mark Ingram. So we can see Dobbins just absolutely emerge and finish as a top 12 running back. Again, it's the same argument with Nick Chubb. I don't think that he has the top five upside because of that receiving, that cap on his receiving workload, though. So David Montgomery, he's a safe option. I don't know if I'm going to be, you know, viewing him as, you know, the RB4 like he was last year. But Tariq Cohen, sounds like he's coming back slowly off of this injury. You do have guys like Damian Williams here in the fold. Khalil Herbert that they drafted later on that, you know, these guys could step into that role. But David Montgomery, extremely, extremely safe option. So it all depends on what I did with my first round pick, with my first pick at running back. If I grabbed a Joe Mixon, you know, a guy like David Montgomery is a perfect strategy to pair him with.
Are you running away from someone in that cluster?
DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift at RB15 is especially going, it's all in comparison to, you know, who he's going ahead of with J.K. Dobbins. Right. I'd rather have Dobbins. I'd rather have Carson. I'd rather have Montgomery. You start to get into Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs. It's like, okay, they're all in the same kind of cluster for me. Daryl Henderson, I would rather have Daryl Henderson over DeAndre Swift this year. So just because of the offense, the offenses are going to be, you have a top five scoring offense and then you have a bottom five scoring offense. So I will take the top five scoring offense there with Daryl Henderson.
This is why the cheat sheet creator is such a cool thing when you're using the draft assistant in your drafts, because you're going to see the board and what everybody else sees. And then when you have us in there with you talking about things like where we have Swift compared to everybody else, there's value there to be had. You might be able to, you know, at a turn, take a player and then wait, let somebody else take Swift and maybe somebody else goes. And then maybe Dobbins, Carson or somebody like that go back to you when it turns back around. Tags, who's the guy in this cluster you're avoiding?
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Swift at his cost doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I agree with Yates. I would also take Daryl Henderson over him. I mean, I just don't feel great. I want to feel better about the running backs in this tier. And like you were saying, you like this tier. This is typically where I'm drafting wide receivers. I'm usually getting a running back or two in the first three rounds, and I'm getting guys in the top three tiers. This tier is a little bit more shaky for me. But again, if you miss out on some of those top tier running backs and you want to grab an RB2, my favorites in this territory are Dobbins, Carson, Daryl Henderson. After that, DeAndre Swift, is he a talented running back? Absolutely. Is he going to get a lot of touches? based on what the Lions have done, based on what they've said, it seems like they want it to be a timeshare. And that's going to limit his potential in touches. And the offense, we already know, isn't going to score a whole lot of points. So it's like you're looking for one or the other, and you're really not getting either guaranteed with Swift, which is why he's difficult. Miles Sanders, very talented running back. Jalen Hurts is going to steal some of those touchdowns. The offense in general might not be explosive. We don't know how that's going to work. First-year head coach Nick Sirianni. Josh Jacobs sharing a workload with Kenyon Drake. I don't trust the Raiders coaching staff. It's the same reason that I know we're not doing quarterbacks right now, but you know, Derek Carr, we talk about being a safe option in two QB formats. I don't even know if he is anymore. And I'm saying that because I don't trust John Gruden to say, hey, we're struggling as a team and we're going to blame you, Derek Carr, because you're the damn quarterback for this team. If they go to Mariota, trust me, they're going to get worse. Mariota's not a good quarterback. Going down the list, like David Montgomery, I don't think he presents top 10 upside anymore. I don't. I think if Tariq Cohen was out of the picture, if Damian Williams was out of the picture, there was nobody else. It was Ryan Nall behind him. Mm-hmm. There was no one. So therefore, you take away, you know, you add Justin Fields. Again, a mobile quarterback should help his efficiency and a yards per carry standpoint, but it's going to remove some of those rushing touchdowns around the goal line. And then you factor in, they lost both starting tackles. We have no idea if Tevin Jenkins is going to walk in.
Their top three tackles are all out with an injury, which is just... It's great. I'm tilting. Yeah. It's fine.
So that's what I'm saying is like, so David Montgomery, he gets some warts on him. Is he safe in terms of like a guy that's going to get 240 plus carries? Probably, but it's his usage in the passing
game. The volume
game
is king. That's what you keep telling me. And can someone explain to me this Tariq Cohen love that seems to know no boundaries?
Matt Nagy likes Tariq Cohen. That's all that matters. Matt Nagy also liked Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, but that didn't bother anybody yet last year either.
It didn't hurt
Montgomery's numbers at the end of the day at all.
Montgomery was not good through the first like 10 weeks of the season.
No, he wasn't, but man, he was pretty darn good in the last few.
It's the same thing with Jonathan Taylor, where that's why I thought Jonathan Taylor was being overdrafted. I think David Montgomery's price is fine. Like
good price.
If he were going around the RB12 range, I'd be laughing at people. But the fact that he's going
at 18.
He's moved up, actually, because he was RB22 like not too long ago.
Wow, you could blame me for that one. You guys take the heat on the rest. I'll take the heat on David Montgomery. All right, before we get to the next group of the tier four running backs, because there are a lot of guys to break down here too, I want to tell everybody about, of course, sponsor of the show, Pristine Auction. All the coolest gear, all the coolest stuff, the autographed jerseys, the autographed helmets, the autographed everything. And it's not just football stuff, but let's face it, it's football season. And now everybody can go and hang out with each other again and watch the games and you have your drafts together. This is where you want to go for all the cool swag. So go to pristineauction.com, and when you sign up, you get a $5 credit on us because we're awesome and we give away free stuff. Signing up is free and you only pay when you win. And winning is fun. We like to win here. So go ahead and make sure you go and everything there is backed up by that certification of authenticity. Everything there is easy to navigate. It's a fun process. It's easy to sort through the things you want. And again, it's not just stuff in terms of sports. They've got artwork there. If you want something nice for the den, you want something nice for the office, they've got all kinds of cool things there as well. They got wrestling stuff. They've got baseball, hockey, basketball, everything. They got cards. Forget it. So many things. Just stop. Just go to pristineauction.com. I'm done talking about it. You don't want to hear me talk about it anymore. Neither do I. Go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Get some cool stuff for the man cave, for the she shed right now, and get $5 on us while you do it at Fantasy Pros. So let's go after it to this next grouping of five in tier four. We're still in tier four. It's a big tier. Darrell Henderson at 21, Gaskin at 22, Mont Davis at 23, Kareem Hunt at 24, and Travis Etienne at 25. I've got a ton of Travis Etienne. Whenever he's on the board, I tend to, especially in the PPR format, go a little bit more aggressively for Etienne. I look at Mike Davis. That's the other guy in this grouping that I'm circling for me. Tags, when you look at this next five guys, you've talked a lot about Henderson and Gaskin. Is this the order you like them in too, or do you have a different order because it's Henderson, Gaskin, Davis, Hunt, Etienne in terms of the way they're going off the board currently?
Yeah, Etienne is definitely someone that's up there. I have Darrell Henderson as the leader in this one, but it's Etienne after that because most of the time you're able to get Travis Etienne as your RB3 or flex for your team, and that's just nothing but profit, right? James Robinson, it's funny because you can go on our website and see ECR versus ADP, so experts versus ADP, and you'll see as you go down the running backs, you'll see +1, -1, 2, sometimes 3 or 4. James Robinson, plus 8 in ADP versus analysts. So therefore, the people that are actually paying attention that are doing this for a living, they're realizing James Robinson is not going to be a big part of this offense, and people are drafting him as an RB2 in public leagues, which is just crazy to me. Travis Etienne, this is a new coaching staff. Like, stop thinking. It's almost like the same thing with David Montgomery last year, where there was no one else in the roster. You know, it was like default James Robinson was the guy. And, you know, was he good? Yeah, he was better than I think anybody expected. But if you were to break down the numbers and actually look at them, you'd say he was an above average running back, but it wasn't anything like elite, out of this world, like J.K. Dobbins per touch production, Nick Chubb per touch production. It wasn't like that. It was volume. It was volume. That's what it was. And now you have a new head coach, you have a new play caller, you have a new quarterback. This system is going to run 4 wide receivers a lot of the time. And that's why they're talking about putting Travis Etienne in the slot. And some people were like, oh, great, they drafted a running back to use him as a slot receiver. You act like using him as a receiver is a bad thing. Targets are worth 2.5 times as much as a carry. So if they're lining him up in the slot, bravo. It just means you're getting creative with the offense. That's all you're doing. So getting him as your RB3 or flex, it's the same thing with like a Chase Edmonds, right? Where these players have nothing but upside that you're shooting for. You know that they're going to give you, especially in like a half PPR or full PPR format, they're going to give you RB3 performances more often than not, which is nothing to write home about. But this is the territory where they're being drafted. So take advantage of that.
I love him as a flex RB. I've got him at flex RB in so many of the mocks that we've done here at Fantasy Pros, and so many of my actual drafts too. And there's been a couple times where, you know what, I loaded up heavy on wide receiver because that's what the board looked like, and he ended up being part of a cluster of potential RB2s for me where I took him and a Mike Davis or somebody else. I'm like, okay, I'll figure it out with those two guys in the RB2 slot. One of them will be like a flex guy. Hopefully one of them performs like an RB2 most weeks. And I'm at peace with that. There's upside, there's talent, there's involvement, there's volume, there's opportunity. There's so many things when it comes to ETN. When you look at this cluster here, Yates, how do you see this grouping? Are you still Darrell Henderson where he is? Because I struggle with that a little bit too. I'm just not willing to give up to Darrell Henderson quite yet. Maybe it's because I had so many problems last year with that backfield trying to get it right, and I got it wrong every single week.
Sure. I think with this backfield, let's talk about LA really quick. I think that there are some concerns being carried over from last year, but yet at the same time, when you look at the depth chart, it's like it's the David Montgomery, it's Xavier Jones, it's Jake Funk, and it's Raymond Calais. None of those guys are going to take away significant work away from Darrell Henderson. And I talked about this. This is a top 5 scoring offense. This is not going to be like Chicago last year, where it's a terrible offense, but David Montgomery is just getting a ton of work. It's not going to be James Robinson, where Jacksonville is a terrible offense, but he's getting a ton of work and he's still going to be a safe option. Darrell Henderson has top 10 fantasy football upside this year, because when you look at the numbers over Cam Akers, he was actually like a better running back than Cam Akers last year. So I think Darrell Henderson, him being moved on from was super weird when it happened, like him being completely phased out of the offense. I don't know what that was all about. It shouldn't have happened, but it did. Darrell Henderson this year is the guy that I'm targeting in this cluster. I like I like 4 out of the 5 guys here. I really like Darrell Henderson. I really like Miles Gaskin this year. Mike Davis, we talked about on earlier episode this week, that I do like him. I just have durability concerns over the length of the season. Travis Etienne, I've been way out in front of this one. I had Travis Etienne at like RB14 the entire offseason. Kareem Hunt is the one in this tier that I'm like, I don't understand why he's still here. Like, yeah. I don't understand it. Like, he is going to be enough of a nuisance to Nick Chubb where he's going to take away enough work, but it's not going to be enough work that gives him sustainable fantasy value, especially to the point of RB24 in ECR. I just don't understand that one.
Man, I'm with you. And it's so weird because last year I was very Kareem Hunt pro. Like, you remember I would come on these shows talking about they were both going to finish as RB1s, and they did. And I was all for that. And after that finish of the season, I don't know. I just saw an even better version of Nick Chubb that I thought was even available to me. And I just feel like it's not that Kareem Hunt's going to get phased out, but like you said, it's going to be more of a nuisance. But I don't think he has nearly the same value as the other players on the board in that same cluster. That's how I see it. How do you see Kareem Hunt? Because, Tags, we talked a lot about Chubb. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about all these other guys, but we haven't talked about Hunt. Is he somebody that you're targeting at all?
Not really. His ADP was showing for me when I did the article he was at RB22, and I thought it was too high. And then I broke down the numbers and I looked at it. He actually finished as an RB2 or better 56.3% of the time, which is solid. I know Chubb missed a couple games, and Hunt was actually better when Chubb was on the field too, which is really weird.
Yeah.
You thought Kareem Hunt would be a league winner for that?
It's not, because I think that, remember what I said earlier about that whole thing, that intermediate passing game is a little wonky there for them. So maybe it's that Kareem Hunt, when all of a sudden Chubb's on the field and all of a sudden everybody has to come up a little bit, opens up some things you can do with a guy like Kareem Hunt in space.
Well, yeah, Kareem Hunt's, it's still the same argument that I had against him last year. I didn't like Kareem Hunt as much as you last year. And mm-hmm. you could say he finishes an RB1. He wasn't an RB1. But Kareem Hunt was someone that said that was, so did Tyler Lockett. But in reality, what I'm saying is that Kareem Hunt is someone that has multi-use, where you could use him as an RB3 as a flex, RB2 if you're in a pinch, and then he also has the handcuff value, where if anything were to happen to Chubb, you're obviously going to plug him in. I'm not so worried about last year. I still believe that he would be an RB1 if Chubb went down. People talked about it saying, hey, if Nick Chubb wasn't part of the picture, how high would you draft Kareem Hunt? He'd be a top five pick, most likely, behind this offensive line, in this offense. So the fact that James Robinson is going close to him in drafts, I would 100% take Kareem Hunt every single time.
That's fair.
I would take Mike Davis over him. I believe Kareem Hunt, he falls into the Chase Edmonds territory for me. Edmonds is someone that I know he's going to give me RB3 numbers more often than not, flex numbers. And that's in a worst case scenario, because even going back to last year, he offered RB3 numbers, flex numbers more often than he didn't. And that was with Kenyon Drake stealing basically, I think it was like 17, 18 touches per game. So if he gets a bigger role, it could be an Austin Eckler type breakout for Chase Edmonds. So again, getting him as your RB3, that's kind of how I feel about Hunt, where it's like, we know the floor and what we're hoping for is that ceiling.
Just for clarification, I never said he played like or would play like an
said,
RB1.
I said they were going to be both RB1s, and they both were RB1s. He would
finish as an RB1 because I think that's what Cleveland is finding. They're old school. We're going to run the football. We're going to be careful with the football because Baker Mayfield gets a little outlawish sometimes, a little too gunslingery, and we're going to play defense. Guess what? It worked. It worked so well, it almost got them to the big dance. Like it really worked last year, and I think there's reason to be excited about Cleveland. That division is going to be fascinating. I mean, I cannot wait
as a
to
team,
watch the games.
Honestly, as a team, like I know Yates keeps track of all the depth charts, and when you go through the Browns as a team, they're one of the most talented teams in the NFL.
It's
some of the
talent. Yeah. Their defense is so much fun.
Yates, their defense is really good. They have depth in a lot of spots too. It's a good football team. They just got to limit the mistakes. And if they do that, they're going to be dangerous again. Let's get to this last tier as well here, because Chase Edmonds leads the tier five guys. And look, tier five is about taking calculated shots. Okay. I think everybody's got their guys and their stayaways. And I know we know some of them already, so I don't want to belabor too many, but let's run down the tier five guys. Chase Edmonds, Melvin Gordon, Raheem Mostert, Damian Harris, Javonte Williams, James Robinson, Ronald Jones, David Johnson, Leonard Fournette, James Conner, Zach Moss, and Michael Carter and Trey Sermon bringing up the rear. Now, I don't know about you guys. I kind of am perfectly fine if I don't get Javonte Williams. I'd rather wait this out, take shots on Trey Sermon and Michael Carter. That is my approach with this tier. I don't want to be involved in these running backs by committee, although yesterday in a mock, I did take my first James Conner share just because it made sense. I was like, let's just take James Conner here and see what happens, right? But to me, that's my approach with this group. Wait it out. Try to get one of the rookies because I think the upside lies with them. And wouldn't you guys say to Tags that most of the, you know, fantasy football fans are more casual. They're a little less aware of these deeper rookies, right? Maybe they don't all watch college football. Michael Carter, Trey Sermon are kind of new, and they're not getting nearly the same kind of hype as Najee Harris is getting or Travis Etienne.
Michael Carter wasn't, he was a fourth round pick. That's why he's right. Not getting that. Trey Sermon, you know, there's been reports saying that he could be the starter and that Raheem Mostert could be the guy that he comes in when the defense is worn down and they utilize that speed in the open field. I mean, cool. Like, honestly, I said that there was always a chance that Trey Sermon was going to have this because, again, the 49ers don't have much draft equity over the next couple of years. And the fact that they traded up to get Trey Sermon tells you that they love him as a player. He could wear down an opposing defense 100%. So he's someone that we're seeing him creep up because, again, he was in the 40s and now he's at 38. In my drafts that I'm going to be doing, I know 100% of the time he's going to be going as a top 35 running back, if not top 32, because it's almost like the Ronald Jones conversation. You're just kind of, you're drafting him as a guy that you know that's going to be part of a timeshare, but you're hoping he kind of takes that next step and that they utilize him more because he might be the best running back on the team. Ronald Jones is definitely the best running back in Tampa Bay. Whether or not Bruce Arians uses him as such, that's a different story. But basically, in training camp, the stories that you're hearing out of there, and Ronald Jones is in this tier, is why I'm talking about him. Mm-hmm. The stories we're hearing out of training camp is that Ronald Jones is by far the best running back out there. That it's not even that it's a distant second to Leonard Fournette, and I don't think many people realize that. And I want to ask you guys something about something, because we have not talked about Damian Harris on this show.
I've talked about him. I tend to do it when you're not around.
Maybe.
Because I hear you say how negative it is.
Well, no. No, I liked Damian Harris when he's coming out of college. However, where are people talking about there's top 12 upside with this guy? I don't
know. No, that's mad. Who says that?
Some people are saying he's a sleeper.
Bring
that presents RB1
house.
Potential. And I'm like,
that's insane.
Guys, I mean, we understand that even if Mac Jones were to take over in this offense, like obviously it'd be more pass heavy and I'd like him more in that scenario, but let's not pretend it's Tom Brady led offense and this team is going to be top five scoring in the NFL. Like that's
people have a ridiculous expectation for Mac Jones.
They do.
I do not understand it. Like people think, and it, I guess I understand it because throughout the pre-draft process, there were so many people that were like, he's pro ready and he's ready to step in right away.
That's
what
and they
he's
said
ready
about
to take
Josh Rosen too.
Yeah, really. Like he's ready to step in and take over this offense, you know, an offense and take him to another level. I was like, no, he's not. Like, have you watched tape? Because he's really not. He needs a perfect situation around him. And I'm sorry, but going from a wide receiver core of Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, and John Mechie to then Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, and Jacoby Myers, you know, you can throw Johnny Smith and Hunter Henry in there, but that's not better than what he had at Alabama, which is crazy, especially with the offensive line in front of him at Alabama too. So yeah, Damian Harris, don't understand it whatsoever. Because Cam Newton is going to be starting the season, which I called, then Damian Harris is going to be dropped in leagues because he's not going to perform. He's not going to get the touchdowns. It's going to be Cam Newton in the red zone. He's going to be dropped in some leagues by week 3 or 4. And that's when you can go get him. Do not draft him at this price point.
I don't like him at that specific price point, but I will take him on my roster. And I, as somebody who likes Damian Harris, the notion of him being a top 12 running back is absolutely insane. That's just pure madness. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And it's one thing to like a player. It's another thing to put that kind of expectation. That's insane. And everybody knows my thoughts between the Cam Newton situation and Mac Jones. Not that I think Mac Jones is Tom Brady, but my goodness, last year was not good. Yates, I have a question for you. Would you rather have Javonte Williams at 30, or would you rather wait one more round? Because that's basically what the ADP is telling you, and take a shot on Carter or Sermon.
Yeah, this is a great question. I think I'm going to take Michael Carter there. I'm going to wait around and I'm going to come back and I'm going to grab Michael Carter, because with Javonte Williams, I do think that we're going to see him take over at least the majority of the workload here in Denver by the end of this season. But I do think that Melvin Gordon is going to remain involved heavily throughout the year. So in comparison there to New York, where it's Tevin Coleman, LaMichael Pirine, Ty Johnson, like we could see Michael Carter take over this backfield, you know, by week 2, week 3. I just can't see that happening yet with Javonte Williams. So I think I'll take the immediate production there, or the, you know, banking on immediate production with Michael Carter a little bit later on than taking that Javonte Williams. I'll take another wide receiver at that spot.
All right, tier 6. This is it. This is the last group where you start throwing darts for depth on your bench at the end. Kenyon Drake at number 39. Then you got 40, AJ Dillon, Gus Edwards, Singletary, Jamal Williams, Tony Pollard, Hines, Latavius Murray, Philip Lindsay, McKissick, James White, everybody's favorite running back in the world, Tariq Cohen, Alexander Mattison, Tevin Coleman, Tag's favorite, and Rashad Penny. Now, I look at this list, and I think Kenyon Drake at 39 is a fascinating investment because...
Stop betting on the Raiders. Stop betting on the damn Raiders.
I really like what this guy's got to offer. I like what he does. He's a grinder.
I'll tell you
Gus
what,
Edwards,
man.
AJ Dillon, Jamal Williams. The group at the top here is pretty good. You know me. I'm taking some shots of Philip Lindsay and some best ball and some deepers league because I don't have any faith that David Johnson staying healthy for a full season. So when you have this cluster here at the end, boys, who is it that are your guys? Circle your dudes because I know you got them. Tags, who do you have here in this very last tier we're going to talk about that really stands out? Is it a Pollard? Is it a Nyheim Hines? Or is it somebody like a Gus Edwards, who you just think is still a part of this offense and would benefit with an injury all of a sudden a great deal?
When you're in this tier of running backs, this is for your bench draft upside.
Right.
Do not not waste picks. Do not do that. So it's don't draft Jamal Williams. There's not much upside there. Do not draft Philip Lindsay.
did you guys see, we did a top 30, the values per team article. Did you guys see this? We, you know, we all went through and added our top values per team.
I saw this.
Who cares? As a joke, I went in and added for Houston Texans. I just said, who cares?
Yep.
And that was all I said for the top value. And I thought it was going to get caught before it got published. No, it got published. And a listener pointed it out to me.
Glorious.
And Blaine just kept it. They just kept it in the article.
Oh, it's terrible, dude. You're right.
I don't want any.
No, I like Philip Lindsay as a running back, but that situation is just
all
dire.
Right, enough with the Philip Lindsay hate. All right,
it's Tony Pollard.
Like
Tony
here.
Pollard is the one.
Yeah.
He's the one. Yep.
Why? Because Ezekiel Elliott's so safe?
No.
I just spent the whole beginning of the show. We've come full circle. He's so safe. He's so wonderful.
Is.
Now you want to make Tony Pollard investment.
He is. You're looking for a guy that. So here's what you think about when you're grabbing running backs for your bench. You think, what happens if the starter goes down? Who does this running back become? Can I use him every single week? Tony Pollard would be a top 12 play every single week if Ezekiel Elliott went down. You can't say that about guys like Gus Edwards. You can't say it about Kenyon Drake. I mean,
can you say it about Jamal Williams?
No, hell no.
Okay.
So so here's the thing. If DeAndre Swift got hurt, he'd obviously become more viable, but this team already brought in Todd Gurley with all these guys in the roster. They drafted Jamar Jefferson. So this team has shown you, the coaching staff has shown you, that they're going to bring in someone else if there was an injury to DeAndre Swift, which again would curb the enthusiasm for Jamal Williams, who is playing in a low scoring offense. The thing that they have going for them, the reason that DeAndre Swift, I don't want to say is a must avoid as like a back end RB2, that offensive line is really freaking good. Like the Detroit Lions offensive line is top 10 in the NFL. So unfortunately the defense isn't going to allow, but again, Jamal Williams, he doesn't do a lot for me. I would much rather have Tony Pollard because again, we can't predict injuries. Stop trying to do that. Stop trying to say this player's that. We can't do it. So basically just look at the situation and say, if the starter got hurt, because these are all backups, if the starter got hurt, who would I want on my team and who could I see plugging in every single week? It wouldn't be Philip Lindsay. It wouldn't be JD McKissick. It wouldn't be Tariq Cohen. Like you're talking, Drake would be probably the third down back that you could see doing that. AJ Dillon.
Drake could be that guy. Like Drake is the guy to me that you circle and go, okay, well, they went out and acquired him. Yates, who's that guy for you that you look in this cluster and say, this is a guy that tends to find his way onto Yates benches?
Yeah, so there's Gus Edwards for one, because I do think that he's going to have a role. I do think that he comes with upside if something were to happen to J.K. Dobbins. Tony Pollard, for sure. I'm in agreement with Tags there. Latavius Murray does come with that a little bit, because if something were to happen to Alvin Kamara, you've got an opportunity. You've got a role. And then a little bit further down, I'm intrigued by Rashad Penny, especially at this price. You know, RB53 in ECR. I think he's around that in ADP too. So I can add him as the final pick in my draft, and I see what his workload looks like. Are they going to get him involved? Reports out of training camp, which we've heard this before, but reports out of training camp are that he's looking pretty good. And so do we see more of that rotation here with Chris Carson, especially because I think this offense is going to be pretty good. So it's worth a shot with Rashad Penny, because he could end up being a flex play, you know, and especially he comes with upside if something were to happen to Chris Carson. So,
well, I'll tell you what, if Philip Lindsay has, I don't know, if we got to set a number, whatever Tags projections are for him, if he goes over that, I think we need a song bet. If he goes under it, I'll sing you a song, Tags, right here on the program. We'll do a little karaoke song bet, you and me. The other, the winner chooses the song, the other person has to sing. You think about that, and I want your answer on that.
All right, my projections have been 1,000 yards rushing and 300 yards receiving.
No. I can see your projections. So that's
no, you can't.
Oh, I can see them. I can see them in my eye. All right, we've put in all the work. Now let's get to some fun. What's trending? Well, let's find out and let's turn it around and talk some football and some life. Bill Gates and his wife Melinda are now officially divorced. Melinda filed for divorce back in May. No prenup between them. I don't know how this happened. So the divorce settlement could give her $130 billion. That's not bad. I think Yates could probably live on that for a couple months.
That's
what
absurd.
Player is going to cost you a fantasy league this year that you know that you love, that you go in there, you're going to draft, and you think that, you know what, there's that chance that it's going to blow up? Is it Joe Mixon? Is it somebody like that? Yates, who's that guy that you know deep down in your heart, as much as you love him, you know that there's a chance when this goes south, it's going to crush you?
I love him. I don't think that it's going to work, or it has the potential to blow up. That's Saquon Barkley.
That's a good one. That's a good one. How about for you, Tags? Who's gonna blow up and kill your season?
Obviously, I would not draft someone if I actually believed it. But someone that if they did bust, it would truly break my soul. It would be Julio Jones.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a very good one too. All right, this was a cool thing that was trending. Apparently, there was a typhoon going on, and these kids were in this cafe playing video games. They're up to like waist water in this cafe and they still keep playing video games. This is amazing. This is commitment, which I love. And I'm just curious, Tags, Yates, what video game did you lose the most hours of your life to? Possibly. Like, when you look back at your youth, I don't know if you're a gamer or not, but what can you say, man, I lost hours and hours of my life to this, because this is commitment here, in the middle of a typhoon playing a video game.
Where were the outlets?
That was my first question, too. You're looking at this picture I put in here, right? I can only assume the outlets were up higher, because this looks like everyone's going to die. They're literally all plugged in here, sitting there in these chairs, playing games, and the water is waist deep right now, and they're just going ahead. They got to level up. So I don't know where the outlets are. I don't know how this ended.
Yeah, they all look like they're up on the wall.
Yeah, so yeah. There you go. Yikes. Not that that's safe, but anyway, Tags, what game did you lose the most hours of your life playing?
Yeah, I wasn't a kid when it happened either, because I didn't play video games as a kid. I really didn't. I was a sports kid outside all the time. But as I got older, I played Call of Duty. I think my favorite one that I played was Black Ops 2. That was the game, man. And then as it went more and more futuristic, I got further and further away from it. But Black Ops 2 was so much fun.
Yates, did you have a game that you lost a lot of your life to?
In college, it was Black Ops 2. My roommates and I would just come home. We would all come home from work and we would just sit down and we would play Black Ops 2 for hours and hours and hours. That game was fantastic. And just like Tags, you know, as it got more and more futuristic and stuff like that, I strayed away from it. But now with Warzone, I'm playing Warzone too.
Yeah, for me, it was NHL 2000. We played that game to death.
That was going to be the other NHL, the other ones.
You can make your own guys. Any game where you can make your own players and make your own names of play, that's what we want to do. We definitely.
Do you have
had
the guy
one.
That was like 6'8", 300 pounds, playing center?
So great. It's such a great game. NHL 2000 on EA was so good. That, Madden, and of course, Metal Gear Solid Snake. I played and beat that game so many times and just kept playing because it was so great. But I don't care if I don't sound cool. Last year, I lost a lot of my hours in my life playing Animal Crossing with my kids and without my kids. Not gonna lie, there wasn't much to do. All right, how do you think we got this giant house, kids? Daddy was out there fishing and cutting down trees, okay? Last one here, this guy, Iffy Khan, he turns out to be a bit of a con man. He faked his own death. He's an influencer, I guess, online, and now he's being charged with, faking his own death in a criminal pursuit. Which NFL player that you've written off is going to come back from the dead in 2021? Yates, you have somebody who, this guy can't be good, he can't be terrible. I know Tag's answer is probably Philip Lindsay.
No.
What's yours?
AJ Green.
Yep.
AJ Green, that would be a good one.
That's mine.
Yeah, coming back from the dead, is that yours too?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good, very good. Well, we learned a lot today, boys and girls. This was fun. I want to remind everybody, make sure you go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard and check out not only all the cool stuff we got with the Mock Draft Wizard, but the cheat sheet creator and all you can get with our draft assistant. And if you want to get that draft assistant and that Hall of Fame package for free, go to fantasypros.com/offers. And all you got to do, again, is enter a contest to claim six free months of our Hall of Fame package. That's a $65 value. And boom, just like that, you get the cheat sheet creator at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. I want to thank all the sponsors of today's show. Pristine Auction, again, that's Pristine auction.com. Get a $5 credit with that promo code fantasypros. And go check out Dynasty Owner. Play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, with the real salary cap. Makes it a real challenge. Go to dynastyowner.com today. New leagues are forming. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Tags and Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.